Well, our text tonight will come from the Gospel of Luke. Luke in chapter 10. And we're going to read verses 1 through 20. Luke chapter 10, this is on page 868 in your pew Bibles. Luke chapter 10, we'll read verses 1 through 20. And as we read this together, I'm aware there are many flies in the ointment which provoke irritation in this life. There are many legitimate complaints that we have about many things, because this is not a perfect world, and there are many things that do not go as they should. But tonight, I want you to hear that the gospel serves you with fuel for the warmest joy and the deepest peace. And I pray that tonight, this place would be filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So we'll start reading at verse 1, and we'll read through to verse 20, and we'll take as our text verse 20. And after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And go your way. And behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. And whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. And do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I can still remember the cadence and the accent of a gentleman from several years ago that we knew. He was an elder in a church where we used to worship. And this gentleman, he had several scriptural phrases that he would turn in his prayers. And I can still remember his cadence when he would pray. And he would pray a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you tonight that our names are written in heaven. It brought him such deep joy. Tonight, I pray that you would experience that same joy. This section that we just read, this is about Jesus sending out His disciples. And it's not just His 12 disciples, it's a whole number of disciples. It's a number of 72. And He has sent them out. And they were to preach, and they were to heal the sick, and cast out demons in His name. And the 72 return. In verse 17, they returned to Him with joy. And it brought them such elation that even the demons, satanic beings, were subject to them in the name of Christ. It brought these believers, it brought these disciples such joy that the forces of hell fell before their ministry, before their preaching, before their word of witness. Lord, even the demons are subject to us. And they didn't do this in their own name for their own glory. They said they were subject to us in your name. They were using Jesus' name to cast out the demons and heal the sick and preach. And it brought them such joy. They had received these miraculous gifts from Jesus. Jesus gave them the ability. He gave them the gifts. Gave them the ability to cast out satanic beings. And here's Jesus' response. Jesus' response to their missionary report. It's almost as though Jesus is saying, "My eye went with you. And I could see what was going on. And I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And that Satan's kingdom fell before your preaching, your word of witness, your ministry. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." That the word of their ministry caused Satan's kingdom to crumble. It's the same sort of thing that Jesus would say in Matthew 12, that He was binding the strong man. From John 12, that the ruler of this world was cast out. In Jesus' ministry, in the first century A.D., Satan's kingdom began to fall. And at that point, evil, Satan, the ruler of this world, was judged. He was put down. And ever since that time, Jesus has been putting him under his feet. "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." And so Jesus goes on. He says, "I've given you authority. I have given you authority. I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions." How much does that sound like Psalm 91 that we sing together? "You will trample serpents and lions, tread on all your deadly foes." Isn't it wonderful to sing the Psalms? You're singing about what Jesus preached. I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." Jesus is saying, I have given you this power. I've given you these gifts. I've given you these abilities. They have marvelous abilities. And it's not because of their own efforts, not because of their own study. These are gifts that are given to them. Same thing with you all. You all, each of you, I know. I've seen them before. You have extraordinary gifts, and they're given to you by Jesus Himself. Jesus has given you particular gifts, strengths, and abilities. And every time you use those gifts, Satan's kingdom falls. Just a little bit more. And it's wonderful to see. But notice what he says. He says, "Nevertheless," verse 20, "do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you." In other words, your highest joy is not going to come in the gifts which you've been given. Your highest joy is not in your abilities. I've given you authority over serpents. That's not your highest joy. Look at this. Look at verse 20. "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." That your names are preserved in a register of citizens. You think of your name, your full name. That full name is inscribed in the genealogy of the family of God. That your names are written in heaven. Nehemiah chapter 7 is a long chapter with many, many names that are very difficult to pronounce. Why would the Bible be full of chapters like that? There are many, many such chapters in the Bible. Long list of names, family records. Why? Because names mean something. Names mean something to your God. Psalm 87. One day we'll sing that one together too. Psalm 87. That God has a register. And God registers the names of people who are born in His city. If you are born again, God has written your name in His register. And His writing of your name is more cause for your joy than all the gifts, all the knowledge, all the talents you possess. God has a record of all who are to inherit the kingdom. And these names are inscribed in what's called the Book of Life. And in that Book of Life, names are inscribed of those who are to inherit the kingdom. The Apostle Paul refers to the Book of Life when he's talking about two ladies in the Philippian church who just couldn't get along. And he writes to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. He says, "I urge Euodia and Syntyche," basically to agree, to be of one heart and mind. And then he enlists the other members of that congregation to help them be of one heart and of one mind. And then he goes on to say, these two ladies, their names are written in the Book of Life. It's real important to remember sometimes when you disagree with somebody, just because you disagree with somebody doesn't mean their name is not in the Book of Life. I urge them to agree. Their names are written in the Book of Life. The Book of Revelation refers to this book. And if your name is not written in the Book of Life, then you can't enter into the heavenly city. Oh, but if your name is inscribed there, then with all the joy in your heart, you enter into those gates. Jesus says, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice in this, that your names are written in that book of life. And so I want to ask a few questions about that tonight. Jesus is saying, be glad, shout for joy. He's saying, be at peace, rest. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And I want to ask you some questions about Jesus' statement. I want to ask you, first of all, whose names are written in heaven? Jesus says, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Speaking to the disciples, speaking to specific men with names that have been given to them by their parents. Specific people. Whose names? Yours. Specific names. I want you to hear tonight that the God who has written your names in His register, that this God has a particular love. He's most particular. Sometimes the word particular means that someone's a little picky. No, I mean by this that He is most specific. He is most specific with His love. He's real particular. Whose names? Specific people who have names and addresses and zip codes. Why? Because this God, He has a love for a fallen world, that He has a love for fallen man, that this is the love that He has for us, that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, that Jesus didn't die for us because He knew that we would be good. He died for us knowing who and what we were. That God has loved you. He has written your name in His book despite what He knew that you were. He has a love for fallen man. And I'm going to take that one step further. He has a particular love for particular fallen people. Yes, He has a love for all people. He gives them air to breathe. He gives them bread to eat. He gives them clothes to wear. There is a sense in which God has a love for all people. But there is a special love that He has for His people. Those whom He's loved from the foundation of the world. You know, it's like the general respect that we hope that we have for all people. Oh, but there is a special love that we have for our own families. It's just a deeper love. We can admit that tonight, can't we? That we have a special love for our very own. You ever heard of a man named Rufus? Rufus in the Bible? Romans 16, verse 13. Rufus. He is mentioned as a specific man who is one of God's elect. One of God's chosen. Y'all, whose names are written? They are specific people. And the second question I want to ask is, where are they written? So the first question is, whose names are written? The second question is, where are they written? And similar to that is, by whom are they written? Well, he says, verse 20, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Who wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Was it not the Lord of Heaven? Your names are written in heaven. Was it not the King of Heaven, the Master of Heaven, who wrote your name? Yo, listen, the testimony of the Bible. Think about Ephesians 1:4. The testimony of the Bible is that God has blessed you in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us, that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we might be holy and blameless before Him. Who's the one who wrote your name? Was it you who wrote your own name? No, it was God who wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to ask you another question. So we're thinking about whose names? Well, very specific names. Who wrote them? Well, God wrote them. I want to ask you when. When were they written? If God is the one who wrote specific names in heaven, when did He decide to do that? When did He take up that pen? When did God choose to write your name in His register? Is it that He woke up this morning and thought, so-and-so here, they're really looking good lately. They're on a roll, and they've been real nice to people, and I think I'm going to write their name. I'm going to write their name in my register. When did God write your name? He wrote your name long before you had done good or evil. Listen to what Paul says. Even as He chose us in Him, when? Before the foundation of the world. Listen to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Is His love short term? No, it's an everlasting, strong and powerful love. The way Paul says it to Timothy, and if you ever read 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy is one of Paul's more personal letters. It's one of his warmest letters that he ever wrote. It's the last letter, last recorded letter that we have from Paul. And he speaks there of God's salvation. And he says there, a God who saved us and called us with a holy calling. Why? Not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace. When did He do that? Before the foundation of the world. It is specific names written in heaven by God Himself, written before the foundation of the world. And a fourth question I want to ask you is why? Why would God have written your name? We get to sing about this from time to time. How sweet and awesome is the place with Christ within the doors, while everlasting love displays the choicest of her stores. And one of the stanzas in that great hymn says, Why was I? Why was I made to enter while there's room? When thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come, why is it that the vast majority of people, I mean, even in the golden age of the church, the vast majority of people would rather starve than come? So then why is it that why have I been drawn in to take of this feast, to enjoy what God has spread before us? Why was my name written? Why was I not just left with the rest to rather starve than come? Why? I God addresses the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 7. And in Deuteronomy chapter 7, He tells them, it's not because you are greater or stronger or mightier than the other nations. That's not why I've loved you. That's not why I've chosen you. It is simply because I have loved you and I am keeping the promise I made to your fathers. Why does God choose the nation of Israel? It's because He simply loved them and He was keeping the promise He had made to their fathers. Behold what manner of love with which the Father has loved us, that we should be called the children of God. Y'all, that's the message of the Bible. Behold what manner of love with which the Father loved us. Why was your name written in heaven? Your name was written in heaven because God so loved the world. And then even more than that, He so loved specific people in that world. So He wrote your name in His register. That God so loved. And that's the message that melts the heart of stone. So then what should be the response? Well, the response, look at what Jesus says, verse 20. Rejoice. Be at peace. Why? Because your names are not only written, they'll also never be erased. Your names are inscribed there in His register, and there's no whiteout. There's no eraser. Your names are written, and they will be preserved, pure for everlasting life. And when the apostles preached in Antioch and Pisidia, Acts chapter 13, they preached, and they preached in such a way that the people they were preaching to begged that they could hear the same things the next week. And so then the whole city came out the very next week to hear the apostles preach. And in Acts 13, toward the end of that chapter, what does it say? They preached, and some of the Jews there, they didn't want to listen to what Paul was saying. And so Paul said, I am turning now to the Gentiles. I'm turning to the nations. And it said at that point, Paul went on to quote from the prophet Isaiah there, I'll make you a light for the nations. He quoted that prophet, and at that point, the Gentiles, they rejoiced. They were so full of joy. And it goes on to say in Acts 13:48, they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. As many as were appointed for salvation. Those are the ones who believed. Those whom God had written their names in heaven, they were the ones who believed. And it is such a joyful scene where they are bursting with joy. And tonight, I want you to hear that very same message and have that same joy in your own soul. Because Jesus said, all whom the Father has given me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And even more than that, I will raise them up at the last day. There are many flies in the ointment. There are many legitimate complaints that you and I have. But it is the gospel that injects a healthy dose of joy. Because this is a message that tells you it is not what your hands have done. It is not what your own works have produced. It is simply the good pleasure of your Father in heaven that has written your name in His register. You know, something like that That is the message that brings a joy that cannot be measured. So whose names are they? They are specific names. If you're trusting in Jesus tonight, it is your name. Where are they written and by whom? They're written in heaven by God Himself. When were they written? It's not that God woke up this morning and decided to write your name down. He wrote your name even before you were born, even before your grandparents were born. He wrote your name down even before the world was created. And why were they written? Because God so loved. He has an infinite love. It's a particular love. It is a saving love. And it brings great joy. And may He give us of that joy tonight. Would you pray with me? Our gracious God, tonight we are overwhelmed by the joy of knowing that our names are written in heaven and that You have written our names even before the foundation of the world, and that You wrote our names simply out of the love that You have for sinners. And Lord, tonight we pray that this would be food for our meditation, and that tonight, even as we go back to our homes and even as we pass into sleep, Lord, that we might think deeply on the everlasting love with which You've loved us. Thank You for the gospel. Lord, we long for that day when You will raise us up at the last day. And may we look ahead to Your coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to sing.